Yeah, well, that was a good one. I can't remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Ah, well, I was hoping some might.
Felicity Kendall.
Are of an age, you know.
Felicity Kendall. And what's Richard Bryars, is it?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Well, it was just a phrase to illustrate, really. So let's just ask the Lord's help. It's a very wonderful little section we're looking at. So we need his help. Bless you, Lord, it's your word, and we thank you for it. Just ask, Lord, you'll grant me your wisdom as we share together. And Lord, as we discuss things, Lord, give us light and understanding. Help us, Lord, to discover what you want us to be in order to live the life that brings pleasure to you and blessing to others. We ask your help, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, technically, we've arrived in the second half of Colossians. Paul, in the first part, has given us the theology, basically, what God's done for us. And now this is the next bit of how we are to live in the light of that. So that's the practical side of Christianity. I've called it the Believer's Guide to the Good Life, because that's what the Lord wants us to live, of course. And he's just covered the previous chapter, all the bad stuff that we're to avoid, amongst other things, all the wrong ways that were mentioned in chapter 2. So we're on to the good stuff now, how to live the good life. So we'll just read this little section, if we may. Is it not working?
I've managed to stop it, I forgot to turn it on.
Oh, I thought it was Karina Barbary trying to contact us.
No.
Right, let's just read it, yeah? Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Mm-hmm. So that's about the good life, how to live for the Lord. Right, so let's go back. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So, it's a new life we've been given in the Lord Jesus. We're united to him. And so that life of Jesus should be living in us and working through us. That's the idea. And he says, you cooperate with that. You to set your heart, that's you, the inside you, your affections, your desires, your goals. In what direction are they to point? He says,
to Christ.
To Christ, things above, to him. And that's where we're pointing. And I've put a compass there for you. What's the interesting thing about a compass is, if you move it around, it'll always go back to pointing north. Right? And that's because it's got a magnet in it, basically. It's pointing to magnetic north. You've got a magnet in you, it's called the Jesus magnet, pointing to him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he says, we're pointing to Jesus, that's where our hearts are meant to be set. That's where we are. And he says he's seated at the right hand of God. Why is Jesus sat down? The job's finished, that's right. But he's at the right hand of God. What's the right hand of God mean?
He's sitting next to him.
Next to him, that's true.
He's
part of him, yeah, but why not the left hand of God?
Because
why the right
hand? The evil it's the strongest.
It's the strongest normally, yeah. It's the, we call it the executive arm, all right. He's at the right hand of God, he's running the show, basically. You've got the idea?
Yeah.
How's your right arm? Unless you're left handed, of course.
It's painful. Yeah. So he's telling God that, hey, that bloke's all right.
He's working for the Father, the Father's right hand. He's the executive for the Father, So that's where Jesus is. He's running the system for you and for me, and we've set our hearts on him. That's where we're supposed to be looking at. That's the direction we're heading for. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So, to set your mind means you've made a choice. You've got to choose that, you know. That's the what we want to do. We want to be a follower of Jesus, don't we, And he says, you're now died. You've died to the old life, and now your life, the real life, that's you, is hidden with Christ in God. So where's your real new life now? Is it down here? No, it's up there. Funny, isn't it? But that's what it's true. Our real life is there. And it says it's hidden with Christ in God. Well, I've drawn you a picture of a safe there. What's it mean by being hidden with Christ in God?
It's safe in God.
It's safe, isn't it? You're double wrapped, do you remember? Mm. You're in Jesus who's in the Father. That's the point, yeah? Reminds me of the old sweets, you remember? Was it Spangles?
Yeah.
Double wrap to keep all the flavour in and all the dirt out. Well, that's what Jesus has done for you. Keep all the dirt out and keep the flavour of loving him in. So that's one thing about your life is now hidden with Christ in God. But there's another side to it as well. And it's this. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So that's part of the answer to the hidden bit. You can't be seen as you really are yet. That's the thing. Your life is hidden. The real you, what you're going to be like, is there, and people can't see it yet, ultimately. Not all of it, anyway. I mean, we want them to see Jesus in us, but they don't get the full picture. Yeah. Until, it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, well, what's that mean? He's coming back. So, when he comes back, we will be fully revealed for who we are. Yes? His children, God's people. Up to the present time, the world thinks we're crazy, or whatever they may do, or just think we're not important, or something like that, yeah? But we're going to shine, like Jesus' glory. We're not going to be like Jesus in that sense, but we'll shine with his glory, yeah? So we'll be glorified. You also will appear with him in glory. That's going to be a change of heart, isn't it? Right? So that's a real prospect for us. We're going to be like him when he appears. So that's an encouragement to stay going, isn't it, really? That's what we're looking forward to. So as a result of what we're going to be, he says, therefore, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. So there's a reason why we're to get rid of the old stuff, because that's not our life anymore. Right, so how can you put earthly things to death? I've got a knife there for you, but that won't do the job. How can you put earthly things to death?
Forget them.
You have to choose not to go with them, basically, amongst other things. Yeah, we still have got an old nature, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you probably knew that anyway. And that wants to control us. The old life wants to try and take over. But it shouldn't, and it can't if you let the Holy Spirit work. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, it's a different word, but it's the same idea. How do we put to death things? He says, by the power of the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh. So the Holy Spirit enables us to choose not to go the world's way, but to go God's way. And that's putting it to death. Do you know how you put to death things in the Spirit? You starve them to death. Right? You don't give them airspace, and you don't give them anything to work on. So we say no, and that begins to start the death process for us. Yeah? Right, so, important point to make though is, God has created and given us many good things, so, what is it that belongs to the old earthly way of living? Because there are lots of good things God's given us, isn't there?
Yeah.
We're to enjoy those. God's given us all things richly to enjoy. So What are the earthly things? Well, Paul's going to give us a little list in the next verse as to what the sort of things that have got to die. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. These are a few examples, and they're all what I call heart issues. It's what's on the inside that's affecting us, yeah? And he gives us that earthly appetites can be misused and misguided, you know? That's the trouble. God's given us good gifts, and sin distorts them. Sex, for example, distorted by Satan and sin, yeah? And food is a good thing, isn't it? We need it, but it can be distorted by the enemy. So they begin to start feeding yourself all the time, sort of thing, yeah? And he's really talking in their time. Now, just remind ourselves, Paul was living 2,000 years ago, and that's what they were getting up to then. Still doing it. That's because humans haven't changed. Simple nature is still around. I'm afraid sinners are still active, and sin's active in our lives. And he talks about sexual sins, and I'll include the whole range of them. He's talking about prostitution, adultery, and perversions. Paul's saying, as all those things are wrong, I'd get myself sacked if I was in a secular job today, after saying that. Yeah, but it's a fact.
Right.
It's wrong. God says it's wrong. So, end of argument. Perversions are wrong, and all sex outside of marriage is wrong as well. That's what he's arguing, yeah. And then, let's move on from those, onto this greed side of things. Excessive desires, not just for food, but for power. A greedy person is just one who wants to take over and control things, don't they?
Yeah.
Right. And he describes it as idolatry. I've got a picture of the golden calf there, the idol. Why is greed called idolatry? Why does he think greed's like idolatry? Why is greed like idolatry?
Because you want it.
It's the thing that becomes first in your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's taken over from the right desire of things. It's taken over. Mm. So it's become an idol in your life. That's what it's about. So greed is considered, as he says here, idolatry. Which is, most people wouldn't think that, would you? I remember reading in a commentary, he said that, in how many churches have you heard people being told off for being greedy?
Not many.
Not many. Because, you know, we think it's just a small fault, you know. Well, he calls it idolatry. That's breaking the big commandment, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you are. So those are things of the old life, for examples, that he's giving us there. All these earthly appetites are misused and misguided. They've got to be stopped. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. So I just want to take you back to Noah's day. In Noah's day, there came an appointed day of judgment against the evil, didn't there? God says, I've seen enough of this, I'm tired of it, I'm weary of it. And he says, I'm going to destroy it all. Now that's a terrible thing that happened, isn't it? But God was righteous in his judgment in destroying all of these humans. You know, they didn't want him. So he says, well, you can have what you don't want then. Nothing. And so, comparing that, as Peter says, God judged in the past, and he says he's going to do it again. So a future day, this is the day of wrath that is coming, is called. A future day has been set by God when his righteous wrath against all evil will come. That's an incentive for us to tell people about the Lord Jesus, you know. I know it's a hard of hearing world as well, but we've got to try best we can. And we're told that the day is coming when God's going to judge the world. And in Acts chapter 17, we read Paul said this to these pagan Athenians, I think it was. A group of pagans anyway. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. He says, you want proof God's going to judge the world? It's Jesus coming back. Because he's the judge. So he's there now. He's waiting for the day when the court is called together. He's the judge appointed. So the wrath of God is coming against all evil. And so we need to get rid of the rotten stuff in our lives. So this is an amazing verse. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Isn't that amazing? That's what we used to be like. Thankfully, used to is past tense. Yeah? But the thing is, he says he used to walk in these ways. It wasn't just an occasional sort of wrong thing. It was the way we lived. Part of our lifestyle is getting at. Some worse than others, of course, openly. But sin is sin, brothers and sisters. And we were all in it at one stage. And then he talks about this dramatic conversion. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. And it's true for us. As we look back and see our former lives, our former selves, we can say, well, Lord, thank you, that's how I used to be, not as I am now. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. So there's a must in the verse. You know what must means? You've got to do it. Right. So, a list of things here. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. It's all about sanctifying ourselves, being sanctified by the Lord. Some things have got to go from what the old life was. All of these things, anger, rage, malice, and so on. They're all wrong states of mind, but the thing that marks them out is they have effects on the people that you relate to. They're relationship issues. You can't be, well, you could be angry with yourself, I suppose, but it usually blows out on somebody else, doesn't it? The rage, that's, someone described it, I think, as cold anger, in a sense, or hot anger. You know? Yeah? But it's that, and malice. Malice is just deciding to do rotten stuff to people all the time. And then we're on to the tongue, slander with the mouth, yeah, pulling down another's character and so on. And filthy language, oh dear, terrible.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're wrongful states of mind and behaviour towards others. And all these are harmful to others who are on the receiving end of it, of course. So we're not to be like that. Yes, and James echoes the same words in his letter. From the same mouth, and he's talking about believers here, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring fall forth from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Well, it shouldn't. It can't really. So he's saying, you know, we need to get rid of all this wrong ways. Has God improved your fuse? Is your temper better now?
I set this straight, the whole thing.
Well, I never lost it. I was just a bit angry. I thought, what are you not?
There's a right place for anger, but the problem is human anger tends to get out of control, isn't it?
I wasn't nasty or anything. No. You're just not listening to me.
Right.
You said, don't take it on me.
Yeah. Well, there's a place for being righteously angry, you know?
I didn't apologize.
But this abusing of us is what it's about, isn't it? That's the idea. We're not to be like that. They've got to go. That's what it is. They must be got rid of. And then he says this, don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. So truth is a really important thing in terms of our relationships. You can't have a relationship with someone who's an habitual liar. It just doesn't work. You never can believe what they're saying, so there's no relationship can be developed. So he says, we've got to deal in truth. Stop lying. Don't lie to each other. Speak the truth. Honesty is essential. And then he uses a sort of clothing picture, an idea of taking off your old self. Can you see yourself doing that? You know, taking off the old coat of what you used to be, your old self and its behaviour, that's its practices, the way we lived, and put on a new self. So we've got a new coat to put on, and it's the new self which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That's a new human being, you know. A new human race is being formed in the last Adam, that's in Jesus. A new humanity, making us something we were never before. And he's going back to the idea, as it was in Genesis, you know, when God first made the humans, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. So he made these sparkling two beautiful creatures called humans. Who are all our ancestors, aren't they? And sin got in the way. And he says, now you've got to get that sin coat off and get a new coat on, a new creation in Jesus. That's what we're going to be. Renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So, are you feeling your new coat? And he says with his new coat, his new self, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. That's an amazing verse. And it's one our world has not got any idea about, because the world always draws distinctions between people, rich and poor, wrong colour, wrong shape, all of those things. And he's got a list here of the sort of distinctions that people make. Jew and Greek, that was a religious distinction, as well as their backgrounds as well, of course. So there's a racial aspect to it. Yeah, and then circumcised, uncircumcised, that's religious differences. You know, those are the things that people draw as major differences between each other. And then there's the barbarian and Scythian. Have you heard of barbarian and Scythians? Barbarians were the outside people, but Scythians were even worse. They were the lowest of the low. And so those are social distinctions, you know. We don't associate with that riffraff, is the way the world speaks, of course. And then slave and free, that's your status, isn't it, of course? What's the position you have in terms of your jobs, I suppose you'd say. You know, you've got to, we'll see that at the end. People rank you according to your job often, don't they? Mm-hmm. Well, he says that all of those don't count for the believer in Jesus. Yeah, those distinctions do not count at all. It says here, there is no, and he goes on the list. But Christ is all, so he's the number one. And he's in all. Yeah, so I've called this is God's way of diversity and inclusion. They're all about it nowadays. But what diversity and inclusion means is cutting out some people they don't like, usually. But God wants to include all sorts in Jesus. That's the way it works. And he gets rid of all these other things. And you see it in the history of the church. I read an interesting story about a lady. And she had a servant girl, and they were Christians, right? And they were about to be executed by these barbarians, of course, because they were anti-Christian. And he says the lady held the servant girl's hand. They were united.
Together.
Yes. Didn't matter about their class differences and all that sort of stuff. They were one in Jesus. Yeah, and that's what he's getting at. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with, and we'll see what we've got to put on, but God's chosen people, what's Paul saying there is that we're part of this Israel now, aren't we?
Yeah.
The chosen race. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as God, and he's talking to mostly Gentile, Colossian people, and to us, of course, a mix of all sorts, yeah? And he says, as God's chosen people, did you know God chose you?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Fantastic, yeah? We're God's special people, and he says, holy and dearly loved. He's called us to be different, to be separate, to be like him, ultimately. And we're dearly loved. Isn't that amazing? Do you feel loved?
Yeah.
Sometimes more than others, but God loves you no matter what. That's the way it is. So we're dearly loved, and he says, as a result of who you are in God, then he's going to use the illustration of the clothing again. Clothe yourselves with. So what you've got to put on? We've got rid of the negative stuff. All that stuff has got to go. Now here's your new coat. Here's your new coat. What is it? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. That's enough to be going on with, isn't it?
It's hard in this world, isn't it?
Right, well, all these attitudes towards others reflect a new heart. Again, the attitudes is how we deal with other people, isn't it?
Mm.
We're looking beyond ourselves now. You know, one problem that sin does is it closes you in on your little old self. Me, my and mine. Right? And Jesus comes to blow that out and destroy it so that we're now thinking about others. Because that's the way to be blessed. Mm. There's a great verse, I remember it many years ago, it's in Proverbs. It's, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And I read that when I was very tired, and we were going to go to Yorkshire to visit Jean's mum and dad.
Wallpaper.
Yeah, and the wallpaper was waiting for me. She says, I'm so glad you're coming, I've just got some wallpaper, it needs putting up. Right, and I thought, oh no. Right. Then I read that verse, and the Lord spoke to me.
Started working.
He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And I really enjoyed it. Yes. So, all of these things are works in the Spirit of God, aren't they? So we're looking out beyond ourselves, and they're qualities that the Spirit wants to produce in us as we walk in faith. Right, so, compassion, thinking about others and their needs. Right, kindness, acting in a generous way towards others. Humility. Do you know, that wasn't considered a virtue by the Greeks and the people in Colossae.
Yeah.
You know, humility was counted as a weakness.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's not. It's the way God wants us to be, you know. Think of others more highly than ourselves. And gentleness and patience. We need plenty of that, don't we?
Yeah.
It's the Spirit who produces those in us as we cooperate with Him. We clothe ourselves, but He's doing the clothing. That's how it works. Now, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. I'm glad Paul put this in, because otherwise you'd have thought you were perfect, wouldn't you? Clothed with all these wonderful things. But he says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, because there's not one of us perfect yet. I put yet there, because you will get there. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to get there. So, in relating to brothers and sisters as part of the family of God, we're going to need patience and forgiveness. They are essential, because they're not perfect and neither are you. And that's how it needs to have this oil working in the system of forgiveness and not holding grudges. No holding grudges, because they're destructive to you and to the fellowship family. It's terrible when someone's got a grudge, you know, it just is bitter and it spoils things. So, we don't want that, he says. You forgive one another and deal with it that way. Yes. Praise the Lord. He's given us a way to work it through, eh? Mm-hmm. So we've got L plates on, haven't we?
Yeah.
We're all learners, yeah. And then, how about this? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, why have I got a picture of a load of rubbish bags there?
That's what we were.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is forgive as the Lord forgave you. He's the standard of forgiving. He forgave you, right? But He's also the motive to do it. He has forgiven us. So, we've got to do the same. And I put, how great is God's forgiveness for you? How many bags of your rubbish have you had to have dealt with, you know? Take me away. Well, He's forgiven it all. It's gone. Praise His name, eh?
Amen.
So, we're to show that towards others. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So this is the overcoat for the new coat. Yeah, put over them all love. Love is the greatest grace of all that wants the best for others. It's, you know what the word love is there? I'm pretty sure, I didn't check the Greek, but I'm pretty sure it is. It's that one, agape. You know there are different Greek words for love.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the top one is that sacrificial, godlike love. That's the one he's talking about. And that's a fruit of the Spirit as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
As He works in us to be a blessing to us and to others. So, and the love works through each of the different qualities, your kindness, your patience, and all those. Love makes it work. As Paul says in Corinthians 13, if you can have all these top quality characteristics, you can speak like an angel, you can give as much away as you like, but if it's not done in the motive of love, it doesn't count. Because love transforms it all. So love working through each quality, God's love empowers us to do all these things. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And then, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. So you've got to let the peace of Jesus working in your hearts. And that word to rule there is the word's an umpire sort of thing. He sort of settles things down and sorts things out, you know. The controlling peace which leads to peace outside, the peace inside us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So it helps us to make right decisions. We become proper umpires, as he says. And when you want to make decisions, you know, seek God about them and let His peace begin to direct you in things. Yeah, that's important. And he says that's what we've got to do. We're, since as members of one body, we were called to peace. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Ah, the war's finished for you and for me, brothers and sisters, in our souls and between us and our Lord. That's good. I like that. I altered the picture. Love one another. I once saw it over a banner of a Cambridge church, and they changed the one to WON. Love one another. It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's a good evangelistic one, that is. Yes. So, this is God's call to love one another. And be thankful. There you are. An attitude of gratitude lets the light in. Does he not?
Yes.
To everything. Yes.
Give thanks.
Yes. Praise the Lord. And a positive, healthy and health-giving outlook. It does, doesn't it? When you see things from a thankful perspective, then it changes. You're not being eaten up by all the other stuff that's all wrong in our world, you know? Being thankful. That's really important. How often do you say thank you, Lord?
Quite a lot.
All the time. A lot of the time. Well, that's good. Because it's good to appreciate what God's done. Mm-hmm. It's part of our relationship with Him, isn't it? So be thankful. And then he says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So, the word of Christ, he says. Well, what does he mean by that? They're the Master's words, Jesus' words. It's the scriptures, isn't it, really? I mean, in Paul's day, they had the Old Testament and the words of the apostles. We've got the New Testament from it now, of course. But they're Jesus' words in one way or another, aren't they? And he says, let them dwell in you richly. How do you get the word to dwell in you richly?
Read it.
To read it. And meditate on it. Think about it. And for the grace of God, try and learn some as well sometimes. Mm-hmm. Things that are special to you. Like that verse, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Yeah, those are verses that carry some blessing in them as well. So, they're to get into our heads, but they've got to get into our heart line. That's the thing. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. So it's not all me doing all the teaching. Did you know that? You do that in different ways as well. And as we share with each other, we can encourage one another and perhaps warn someone if you think they're not doing the wisest things here. You know? But he says, you do it all with all wisdom. You know, that's really interesting. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. I've got the phrase there, it's not just what you say, it's also the way that you say it. Right? You might say the finest thing they need to hear, but if you don't say it the right way, they won't want it. Yeah, so, we need some wisdom, don't we, brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Yes. As we seek to interact with one another, and the scriptures helping us to do that. Great. And, as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. So he's talking about corporate worship there. You know, it's good to meet with the Lord's people and praise Him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what it's about. As we sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Well, drawing a distinction between those, the psalms are spiritual songs and hymns are spiritual songs and so on. So he's just giving a whole range of sort of ideas of how we worship the Lord. Music's a gift from God, isn't it? And even if you can't make a joyful noise, make a joyful sound.
Sounds good to Him.
Yes, it sounds good to Him. Yeah. So, and it's heart thanks to God. Yeah, gratitude in your hearts to God. So we're to worship and praise God. That's good for you. Do you know that's what you were designed for? To be a worshipper. So when you worship the Lord, you're functioning as you were created to be. Great. So we're to worship and praise Him. Of course, that can vary. Different styles of people have different worships, don't they? But you know, it's what the Lord sees and what we see may not be the same. Yeah, He accepts people who come to worship Him genuinely. Whether it's not quite my style, I'm not into these pop concert versions, but you know, I'm sure the Lord...
I was singing that song this morning, I want to worship the Lord.
With all of my heart. Yes.
It's all your heart, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. Yeah, if the heart's in it, the Lord will accept it. That's the way it works, yes. Praise the Lord. And finally, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, this isn't just for when we're together in church, it would seem to me. He's talking about whatever you do, whenever, I'd say as well. So it's not just for when we're in church, but for outside as well. So we have a real purpose in our lives. What we're doing, we're serving Jesus. In different ways, of course. And I've got a list of types of jobs there. And again, this is in some ways, the world's classifications, you know. There are the trades, like the plumber, electrician, carpenter, and so on, those things. Then there's the professions, doctors, lawyers, and scientists, you know. And then there's what they call the unskilled. Well, I've got news for you. Doing some of the jobs that unskilled people do requires a lot of skill. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think that's the wrong term. You know, we're sort of grading people, aren't we?
Yeah.
In that sense. But in Jesus, you know, the little jobs count as well as the big ones. It's all part of service for the Lord.
I was an apple picker.
You were an apple picker?
I was. Plum picker.
Good, yeah. Well, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's going to get some plums and apples, aren't they? Yes. So, all of this type of thing. You see, whatever you do, there's no separation. If it's a legitimate job, you can do it for the Lord.
Yeah.
That's the point, yeah. And word or deed, well, sometimes we have to talk a lot and others have to do a lot. But one way or another, we've got to do it in the name of Jesus, serving Him. That's what we're here for, to serve the Lord. It's all about...
Not to be served, but to serve.
Yes,
yeah.
Honour Him. Bless His name. Right. So, brothers and sisters, whatever you do, give it your best for Jesus. See? And that's how to live the good life. All right?
Yeah.
Yes. Praise the Lord. By the help of His Spirit, of course. We're sunk if we don't have Him to help us. Let's just pray, will you? Bless you, Lord, for your amazing truth. Lord, the truth that brings light and hope and direction into our lives to show us that we are accepted and beloved, chosen by You, Father. As we put our faith in You, Lord, You've forgiven us our sins. You've made us new creations, brand new people, Lord, where our home is with You in glory. Lord, thank You, we've got that glorious prospect to look forward to. So help us, Lord, to put down and to get rid of and starve to death the things that are the old ways. Lord, learn Your new ways as Your Spirit leads and guides us. Thank You, Lord, we can sing Your praises, we can read Your word, we can share fellowship together and encourage one another. Lord, we bless You for the new life we have. Help us to live it to the full and know Your empowering, Lord, to bring glory to Your great name. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name.